arm. Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Why Is Mr. Feeney a Car? A Millennials guide, TV guide tour of 80s action television with me, your in-house, homemade, bespoke millennial, and your mass-produced Gen Xer.
Late mid-70s factory defect, drunk union worker, forgot to do the rust undercoating, falling the fuck apart, Gen Xer, Aaron, yes, that's me.
When did things start being bespoke? I feel like I never said the word bespoke once in my life until like 5 years ago.
Some tailor decided that he wanted to get four times the going rate for sewing pants, whispered into the wind, bespoke, and that's yeah. What it was. It's a spell. It's a magic spell.
Yeah, absolutely. So today we're revisiting. We're in our first revisit. We've watched all the pilots, and now we're going back to watch the consensus best episode according to IMDb, and we're revisiting The Dukes. Is it Dukes of Hazzard or The Dukes of Hazzard?
I believe it's The Dukes of Hazzard.
The Dukes of Hazzard, season 4, episode 23, A Bad Day in Hazzard County. What's your hot take on this one, Aaron? What'd you think?
I mean, it's more of the same. If you wanted more, like, could you tell if it had been a day, a month, a year, a lifetime since the last time the Duke boys had been on your screen? Nope. These things are evergreen. Like, this literally nothing happens in this episode. But the Duke boys wasting time at the boar's nest, and it still managed to be extraordinarily entertaining. I really do think you can definitely tell by the end of the fourth season that this has really truly become an ensemble cast where, like, they're comfortable letting Boss Hogg and Roscoe just be fools for five, 10 minutes of stretch and just know the audience is going to think it's fun. But yeah, you got the Boss Hogg, Uncle Jesse team up, the old ridge running, mm-hmm. ridge running booze runners. I loved it. What'd you think?
I was a little surprised that this is considered the best episode because like you said, I actually kind of liked the pilot more, and we decided to snake draft and start the second half of season 2 of Why Is Mr. Feeney a Car with the rewatch that we think would have the least growth and end with the rewatch that would maybe have the best growth. Mm-hmm. And I think we made the right choice.
Yeah.
because it's like, I don't know, you're cooking a grilled cheese sandwich and you just flip it over and cook the other side. That's mm-hmm. what this episode was.
Big Mac? Here's another Big Mac.
Yeah, exactly.
It is indistinguishable from the other Big Mac.
You get two for $6. Enjoy them both. The Duke clan with a C mm-hmm. seemed to be a lot more friendly with Boss Hogg and the cops and stuff. And the Flandersization is very, very strong at this point. Very cartoonish, but it was, yeah, like you said, it's more Duke boys.
Yeah, the Flanderization, especially with, like, Boss Hogg and Roscoe, and they
never kidding about Roscoe. He has developed some serious PTSD.
Yeah, he gets, like in the pilot, lets out, like, a cuckoo when he gets, like, super excited. Here, it's just, like, a constant, like...
Yeah.
Like the idol of an engine. Cuckoo. But I just love it. I love it. I love how they've got... Like, I feel like every season they pinned his hat a little bit further back on its head, so it's even more precariously perched on his wig. I love the gag of Boss Hogg just fucking, like, it's like the airplane gag of the guy, like, oh, I picked the wrong day to give up sniffing glue. Like, Boss Hogg just progressively eating these ever richer candies because he's stressed out.
Yes. His eating disorder is severe in this episode.
Uncle Jesse mixing it up with some of the goons. Got some high quality jumps. I did wonder.
We have jobs.
Huh?
We have jumps. I think we might have some RC, some of those aforementioned RC car jumps.
I don't think they got there this early in, but yeah.
Actually, this is my favorite part of the episode is coming up on the stream right now. And again, you can watch us kind of run it back in the video back as we record on Twitch / blue_j_streams. Did you notice that in the opening credit sequence, most of the shots come from the pilot, but they have spliced some non-pilot shots into the opening credit sequence?
There are a few, yeah.
Like this one here, after they shoot the bow and arrow, the exploding outhouse. And that kind of makes it seem like they exploded it with a bow and arrow.
They probably, well, I mean, who's to say they didn't? You know, the outhouse had it coming. It was having a dangerous outgassing, and it threatened all of Hazard County, and the boys had to, in a controlled demolition, use just the right tips of arrow to save the county.
Yeah.
But you're right. So, I mean, this isn't there's not a huge growth or improvement. But like the late season rot hasn't entirely sat in. Like, you know, people are still having fun. This plot,
yeah, trying,
wasn't smart, but it also wasn't stupid. And I felt like this
it was kind of stupid.
But I mean, it's not stupid. Like even the way I see sometimes Star Trek Picard today be stupid. Like, so, like, you know, there are things.
Wow.
Made sense, and they connected together, and there was and also the show is super comedic. It's like a lot of things that you would want to get down on it, it's like doesn't care because it's just a comedy, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Things are very broad and very easy to follow, but like I think it's, I don't know, it succeeds a lot on charm and heart,
right? Kind of like MASH.
MASH with a lot more, a lot less mobile army surgical hospital, a lot more corn.
Wow.
MASH.
Corn being, of course, Cletus, other guy, rednecks, and
they got the whole set,
nice
man.
Looking
they
gals.
They got Roscoe, they got Enos, they got Cletus, they got Cooter. That's the four hillbillies of the apocalypse, I think, right there. They will sing, they will pick up their banjos and begin to sing the song that unmakes the world. Yeah. When the Antichrist sets foot in the Holy Land, that's from God.
Right. Do you think we should get into the,
yeah,
the
I've been stalling for like 5 okay. minutes, man. Let's talk about this bad day in Hazard.
So, Is this British guy, does he show up ever before, or is...
Nope.
Would you say he's bespoke for this episode?
He's a bespoke villain for this episode. The Dark Lord of Kentucky Fried Chicken has come forth.
Yeah.
Evil Colonel Sanders.
It's so funny to me. They're like, well, we need an evil guy. He's gonna... Spoiler alert. He's gonna rob an armored car that's carrying, I think, $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a lot of money.
A lot of money back in the mid-80s, yeah.
And there's gotta be a maximum. Like, you see the Brinks truck going down the street, you know? There's gotta be a maximum on that. Do you trust any one of those guys to have $10 million in their truck?
I don't know what... I honestly don't know what the most amount of money comes going through a Brinks truck is. It has to be pretty big when they go to casinos and shit, right? Like when they pick up at dispensaries and things, like I don't know about 50 million, but I would imagine 10 million in today's day. Cause like they also those guys don't fuck around. There's like three dudes. They're all heavily armed. There's gun ports, you know, like
that's true.
They never do the situation where there's just two guys. They both get out of the truck at the same time. Like this kind of fucking groundhog type bullshit. I feel like they wouldn't do all that fuss if it was just like 100K, right?
I don't know, man. I feel like if I own the armored truck company, I'll send 3 or 4 trucks if it's a $10 million job. You know, I'll send 5 trucks. We'll split it up. $2 million per truck.
You're running his armored truck company like Ed Norton ran the Italian job. Like, yeah, let's get 5 fucking trucks in case Jason Statham tries to rip us off because
I'd have one of the trucks would just be full of dirty gym socks. Like,
sure. Yeah. Some Monopoly money.
I've also duffels full of
porno coupons. The Ocean's 11.
I've always thought if I was like a Daft Punk style band and I went to, let's say I go to like Chicago for a concert, I would have 3 concerts the same night, but the actual band's only at one of them. The other 2 are decoy concerts with other guys in the costume playing the same music and stuff. Just the audience never knows for sure if they went to an actual Daft Punk concert, so they're going to want to go back 2 or 3 times. So it's like more likely.
So you increase the odds that you actually saw an authentic.
Yeah, it'd be like, I have a 78% chance that I saw Daft Punk.
It sounds like the Firing Squad logic, where they have like 5 guys line up and one of you have a fake bullet, so plausibly none of you are murderers, right? You know?
Exactly. Anyway, that was a weird tangent. But so they're like, we need an evil guy for this episode, so of course he'll be British. Because he couldn't just be from, like, a Yankee, you know? Like,
true.
Just be maximumly.
That's like the Yankee. That's the, you know. Back when we were all rebels. Back when we were all rebels. It was the Yanks from the island. Yeah.
The Unter Yank.
Unter Yank.
So it's like these kids love their Grand Moff Tarkins, so let's get our own Grand Moff Tarkin in here.
What do they call the opposite of an ice cream suit? Is there such a thing as like a coal suit? Because that's what this guy's got. It's just black on black on black. It's literally the Nega Colonel.
Oh,
if you take what the Colonel Sanders wears and you invert everything opposite, except for the tie, you leave it black.
What is the opposite of a?
I guess he is wearing a white shirt. He's wearing a white shirt. If he were wearing a black suit, he'd be wearing a coal suit, I think. Southern style.
The opposite. Oh, Gnarl says Mr. Licorice. That's good. I was going to say a salt lick is the opposite of ice cream.
Oh, Mr. Licorice. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's better.
Ice cream suit, licorice suit. Yeah.
And coincidentally, this British man and his thugs just accidentally run the Duke boys off the road while they're hauling ass down the country road.
Yeah, they were thinking that on the back roads they wouldn't meet anybody, and this is their escape route, so they're timing it precisely because this is a military operation.
Right.
And they're still doing dress rehearsals.
Yeah, he's like, I have planned this out like with the precision of a military operation.
Yeah, well, what happens if your guys hit a chuck hole in this gravel road and throw a fucking tie rod or something? What? Do you got like a Knight Industries 2000 truck that's going to pull over and like fix your shit up? Like, what?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Bonnie has turned evil.
This guy is like hour long television, 43 minutes with commercial break, supervillain. Which is like not very super or villain.
No. Yeah. Just really kind of mid.
He looks evil standing next to Boss Hogg, I'll grant you that, but.
But the precision of a military operation. And I've never been in the military, but I've known a lot of guys who were in the military who would, I think. Well, considering how much they bumbled this, and maybe it was an accurate statement. But and then they go to the bank and they're saying out loud, like, all right, I think we've got enough pictures of the bank. Now let's practice our escape route. Just saying that out in public with like passersby,
right?
walking by.
Also, like, this is the day of, what the fuck are you doing taking reconnaissance photos on the day of? You know?
Yeah. With the precision of a military operation, you will find this military operation to be fully functional.
It's a precise, like, the Pat Tillman operation.
Oh, Jesus!
Is that too much?
No,
is
that
too much?
Normally, I'm the one making the jokes like that. So we get a nice little car chase. We get some green screen, gentle rocking of the car. But I don't think they're doing their like voiceover. Like,
yeah.
Did you remember to pick up the dry cleaning? I don't think that happens.
They've replaced it with green. They've replaced it with rear projection. Yeah, they just have conversations now. It's also less stunt work on the car. It's kind of brilliant.
Right, but they're the Duke boys were foiled by the fact that the goons have guns, which is
they didn't count on that. They're like, damn it, we only have bows and arrows
that can explode an outhouse.
We have outhouse piercing. Bow and arrows, okay? That's all we got. We got nothing against your snub-nosed 38s.
We need to wait for them to fart up their car so we can explode it with our bows and arrows.
There's also a really funny thing where they're tear-assing through Hazard County, like, clearly being dangerous to pedestrians. And, like,
oh,
you know,
this
is on a back lot, and of course there's a bunch of extras kind of, like, waltzing out of the way. Mm-hmm. They don't seem very perturbed. In fact, they're even waving at the Dupa. And the narrator comes on, the balladeer comes on, and is like, now, you might think this would ruffle feathers, but this ain't nothing for people of Hazard County.
Right,
this is nothing out of the ordinary. It's like, the show just always tells you that none of this...
Don't worry.
None of this outlawry is going to hurt anybody or anything, okay?
I mean, it is called Hazard County.
True, with a double Z for double the danger, double
and
the hazard.
Not talking about... the water hazard. But yeah, some of those pedestrians are about to become a reason why we still have daylight savings time to this day. So I thought the balladeer, as you call him, I thought that was Uncle Jesse.
No, it's Waylon Jennings.
That's another old... Well, Waylon Jennings is a real person, right?
Yes, and he's the balladeer. That's just one of his many things he's done in life.
Okay.
No, it's not literally Uncle Jesse, no.
I thought it was him, because later the balladeer starts narrating stuff that Uncle Jesse is doing. I was like, hey God.
Right. And also, Jesse does some balladeering of his own. He's singing songs of the olden times.
You can see why I got confused.
When him and JD ran Moonshine.
So JD's not Boss Hogg, though.
He is Boss Hogg.
God damn it.
Right?
All right.
Did you know also, because like, boy, they really do. They do the trappings of the Confederacy. J.D. Hogg, I looked this up, stands for Jefferson Davis Hogg.
Oh, jeepers.
Which is the president of the Confederacy.
Yeah.
So, Hogg. I know. Like I said, listen to the last Duke's Hazard episode. We can fix this. Is this fixable?
Well, it is fixable.
We can take the traitor out of the Dukes. We can do it. It's possible. We have the technology.
One time I was driving through rural Australia, and a truck passed by in the passing lane, and there's a Confederate flag bumper sticker, and it said, "Long live Jefferson Davis." And I was just like, ah, fucking hick. And I was like, wait, what? Where am I?
I know. That's like, that. I feel like anyone internationally that flies a Confederate flag is like super racist. And I already think baseline flying the Confederate flag is super racist.
Well, I'm sorry to our international listenership, but from my experience, also Australians are a little bit racist in general.
Really?
Let's just say they'll make a Washingtonian blush.
Hmm.
Well, we'll leave it at that. Moving on. Where are we, Aaron?
We are at the Boar's Nest, where Thackeray begins his military precise operation by insulting the boar's brew. He says, is this wretched libation? And Daisy Duke's like, oh, fuck. This guy's not going to tip.
Yeah. Well, he's British. They don't tip there. He'll go on some rant about how employers should pay for their wages. And...
True.
which is accurate.
Crown lands, I don't have to worry about tipping the wretches.
Uh-huh.
And then Jesse comes by to pick her up and it's like, oh, I thought you had car trouble. I had to come pick you up. She's like, I didn't call you. And it turns out this Thackeray guy is able to send sophisticated messages. We'll get all into that. He summons Boss Hogg.
Plot point.
He summons Boss Hogg.
It was part of his military operation to get Jesse here?
Yeah, because if Daisy didn't come home from her lunch crowd, I guess Boss Hogg's the type of cheap guy that has his waitresses work split shifts. So like they work the lunch crowd and they send them home and then they come back for dinner. Yeah. It's like when you didn't come home for the lunch crowd, Uncle Jesse would get suspicious and he'd be down here anyway. So yeah, this again, military precise. He's accounted for everything. He's done his research in the Hazard County. Boss Hogg saying, "Now, why would anyone research Hazard?" That was Uncle Jesse that had me rolling. I love it when they summon. He's like, "Summon Boss Hogg by the predetermined method," and his goon pulls out a pistol and shoots it into the ceiling. And like a half second later, Boss Hogg comes busting in the room, like, "Hey, now!" Not like horrified that someone's firing a gun.
Yeah, he's just like, "Come on,
there's no target practice in this here establishment." Like, you know, it's like gunfire is fine, but like, take it outside.
That is pretty funny. I guess like it just feels like this villain was like, "We need to." I know who the main characters are, so I need to capture them.
You know what? That's exactly what it is. The fame, because even in the first scene, he's like, "Don't you know that orange car is piloted by the famous Duke Boys, who we have a 3 p.m. appointment?" Well, gee, boss, we didn't know. We just didn't know.
I feel like Thackeray would fit right in the Knight Rider universe.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he actually didn't do a turn over on Knight Rider and A-Team and Airwolf. Yeah. He's the kind of, you know, he would be a great foil for Miles. Devin.
Okay. Yeah.
God, I can't even fucking remember Devin's name. This Thackeray guy would make a great foil for, like, Devin on Knight Rider.
Absolutely. Except Devin would kick his ass in. Are you kidding me? Devin's way more powerful than this guy.
Oh my god, I would love for like an like the season after Garth Knight shows up, you know, I've hinted about this, Michael Knight's evil twin brother.
Mm-hmm.
It would be hilarious if what would Devin's evil man Gavin Gavin shows up and it's just him with a goatee.
Yeah.
Or it's Thackeray the goatee. I would love that. We needed an evil Devin episode, man.
Hey, have I asked you this question before? So Michael Knight's rival is Michael Knight with a goatee.
Yes.
But Michael Knight got his face shot off in the pilot.
Yes.
Is it his literal twin brother? Did his twin brother also get a replacement face?
I think this is actually Mr. Knight's real son. Because you'll recall that he fashioned, that was a plot point, he had plastic surgery to make him look like him younger.
All right.
So when the actual scion of the Knight Foundation shows, or a family shows up to reclaim, the, you know, Michael sitting there his on the throne.
Rightful throne.
It's fucking Shakespeare, dude.
Man, why did we ever stop watching Knight Rider? That show is so much better than any of these shows.
We tried to chase the high.
Yeah, we did.
You just can't ever get it. And honestly, keep watching Knight Rider. You'd ruin yourself on that, too. It's you're just chasing the high.
That's true.
The Michael Knight high.
Yeah. So the cops, Roscoe. What's his name? Roscoe P. Rooster Feathers?
Coo, coo. Oh.
Why did I get Rooster Feather? Did I mix in a restaurant into his name?
Roscoe's Roosters. Zaxby.
Yeah. Roscoe B. Zaxby. I've never been to a Zaxby. I want to go to a Zaxby next time I'm in the Midwest.
All right. It's TGIF. It's Applebee's.
It's a sit-down restaurant?
Isn't it? I thought Zaxby's was essentially just slightly more southern Applebee's, but I could be wrong.
I have no idea.
You know what?
They don't exist over here.
Feeny at baldmove.com. Tell me what I'm missing with Zaxby, because I've never actually been in one. I drove past them a couple times.
Anyway, this cop is fishing out of his car. He's not even leaving his car to go fishing. And you know what? He catches a nice little trout there. That's, I mean, it's obviously dead. But he doesn't do too bad considering his fishing out of his car with his dog on his lap while eating a sandwich.
Yeah, I don't...
going on.
I don't know when it happened, but they replace Enos, you know, the oldest virgin in Hazard County.
Oh, that's supposed to be Enos?
Yeah, they replaced him with this Cletus Hogg, who is a cousin of Boss Hogg. And it's got, there's this kind of like, he's obviously inferior to Roscoe, but Roscoe's not blood.
Oh,
so
this
like
guy.
Roscoe, yeah, so Roscoe has an inferior complex. And also Flash! Roscoe's faithful dog. I don't not introduced in this episode, but I clearly remembered Flash.
Yeah,
and how much Roscoe
Featured.
Loves her.
Plot point.
Oh yeah.
Even.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, other cop Enos, I guess. the emergency.
No,
Cletus Hogg. Oh Jesus! I'm okay. I've reached my threshold of redneck names.
We just have one more. Cooter. So,
God damn.
Gotta build up an immunity to it. Cooter.
I can't.
Cooter.
I can't.
Cooter.
He shoves his sandwich in the visor and drives off in a hurry.
He does. Oh, shit.
It's funny. It's funny. I like it.
Plus, I like the CB humor. Like, you know, Boss Hogg's like, you guys gotta get back here on the double. In fact, make it a triple because it's a double emergency. And Roscoe's like, quadruple affirmative. And.
Yeah,
Cletus is just a complete dumbass. Is like 10x4, 4x10, fine by me. This. I don't know. I thought this shit's funny.
2x4
still works on me.
It's it's fine. It's yeah. It's the type of humor that like I feel like because I was raised on like Venture Brothers, which was making fun of this show. You know.
So
it's like. This is the comedy of the comedy that I grew up on. Just like the Yankee.
We'll be back to talk more about why is Mr. Feeny a car after this quick break. Here's what's new in premium content for our club members.
Executive producers get to exercise their voting fingers again this week with another prestige movie poll. This week's nominees are Mystic River, The Last Samurai, and Secondhand Lions. Take your pick and seal our fate.
This Monday on the Premium feed, we open up the books and deliver a State of the Empire podcast, talking about the current condition of Bald Move and our plans for this year.
This Friday, it's Lunch 420, which given last weekend seems like a tragic missed opportunity. Ah well. Lunch will be served piping hot at 1 p.m. Eastern. Come join live or warm up some leftovers when lunch is released in podcast form later that day.
If you want more Bald Move in your life, head over to support.baldmove.com to find out how you can get tons of bonus audio and video content plus ad-free feeds. Commission podcasts are an awesome feature here at Bald Move that allows you, the individual listener, to decide what we talk about for a single podcast.
The community loves it because it often leads to fun fan favorite films and TV shows that we've overlooked getting the coverage they deserve.
And we love it because we're constantly exposed to great stuff that's not even on our radar.
The way it works is simple. You go to support.baldmove.com and you click on commissions. Then you pay the flat rate for the commission and tell us what two-ish hours of content you'd like us to make podcasts on.
Then we'll contact you for details, advanced feedback, and any dedications you'd like to make.
Then we watch the thing, discuss the thing, turn it into a podcast, and pump it right into your ears.
We get consistently great feedback on how much our commissioners love their podcast, and they make great gifts for the dedicated Bald Move fan in your life.
And who knows, that dedicated fan could even be you. Treat yourself. Check out support.baldmove.com for more info.
And now we're back with more. Why is Mr. Feeny a car? Oh, so Thackeray lures them there where he reveals that he has been listening to all of their CB conversations for months
right.
and months
that's
and has
right.
built a library of syllables, and he's essentially, you know, faking their voices to do all these phone calls. This is the big hack. And what the funny thing is you listen to Boss Hogg's statement, it's got perfect inflection for every one of those. Like, there's no fuck. They didn't even bother to make it sound like it was chopped up.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
hey,
to be
boss,
fair,
are you sure? Should we be doing the reconnaissance today? No, it's on. We're on week 48 of listening to Boss Hogg and getting the perfect inflection.
Yeah, what the fuck phase was that? Was that sub-phase negative 397? Because, like, we're only up to phase 3 at the end of this episode of his plan. Like, there was a lot of pre-production in his plan, boss.
Man, you've put out a lot of audio content. Has anyone made an Aaron deepfake? I feel like you could probably train that up pretty well.
Yeah, no, me and Jim have talked about, like, doing that.
I'm just
somehow
retiring.
No, or like, yeah, like doing, like, having our ad, or like, have digital avatars read our ads for us. You know, something like that. I think it'd be fun.
Do the whole podcast. Have him do the whole podcast. You guys just live in the Bahamas.
Jim would do that in a heartbeat. Actually, here's the secret. Jim hasn't been Jim since the pandemic. He's just been a string of shell scripts, PHP, and deep fake. That's it. That's what Jim hasn't been. Jim had, when we left the studio, Jim left podcasting.
During the pandemic, you say, did he also happen to leave his mortal coil?
No. He's living it up in a villa in Italy.
Oh, man. Anyway, so basically, Thackeray does, like, the OG deep fake and is able to perfectly replicate. Real good splice job. To lure the two cops in all of Hesse County. Again,
they're doing a little dirt road racing. There's some jumping.
I feel like this police department may have defunded themselves by the way that they drive these cars around.
Yeah. They're always
we wrecked
about
another,
like,
16 cars on the way over, boss.
And that's the thing. It's like when they pull up into, you know, they're racing because they're trying to curry Boss Hogg's favor. They want to be the first to rescue him, right? So they get the whatever. I don't know. Roscoe's the fucking sheriff of the county. I don't know what he's in for there. But they come together and they, like, it's kind of a neat stunt. They skid into each other and smash. And Roscoe's like, you go take this. It's like, dude, you destroyed both of those cars on the way over here. Like, any one of those jumps just destroyed your car.
Oh, but, yeah, for sure.
But it's funny because it's a plot point that, like, the General Lee is banged up this episode. It's one of the few episodes where it, like, sustains body damage. It just hangs around the entire episode. When they get put into that tree, it, like, fucks up the front fender, and it's like that the whole episode.
Eventually, one of the showrunners went to the writer's room and was like, all right, you guys got to work in that the cars are fucked up, all right?
Well, I wonder how much of this, like, yeah, like, you know what? Shit's just going to be rumpled a little bit because we're out of fucking Dodges.
All right. You can't have another, like, high-functioning car chase. You need to work in a little bit of hitching
the president of CBS just came down with a model kit and a remote control, and this is what we're staring down. We need to husband this okay.
Just ride in some flat tires, something, anything, buy us some time.
Can a car run on just rims? Can a car just run on how long? How long? Oh, damn.
Yeah, maybe an episode where someone steals the tires off the General Lee, and we got some Huffies.
We get an episode of just everyone stealing the catalytic converters and none of the cars run. They just have to walk around everywhere. It's got to walk.
Yeah, maybe something about Pokemon Go. They're all out there trying to catch Pokemon.
Yeah.
We get a little bit of good stage fighting here. A lot of, like, wildly telegraphed punches just 6 inches away.
I do love this. So the two idiots bust in, and you're right. It's like, but I love how especially the Duke boys, the main Bo and Luke, they sell these I think they sell the haymakers pretty well. It just feels like they put their whole fucking body into it. You want to take a punch from this guy? Look at boom! Knocked him over the fucking counter.
It's very Duke Wayne, the Duke.
Oh yeah.
Who the hell am I thinking of?
John Wayne, the Duke.
I wanted so bad to say Bruce. Like that's not the right one.
You know that guy can throw a punch too. It's been said.
Yeah. But it reminds me very much of high school drama. Did you know that Eric and I had an onstage sword fight when we both were in Cyrano de Bergerac in high school drama?
That's fucking badass. You guys stage fought. That's, yeah. God damn, that's such a perfect metaphor.
But it was very much the same, like, big, sweeping motions. Right. Yeah. I'll have at you. Oh, you caught my arm.
Plus, like, Uncle Jesse gets in on the action. He comes rolling in with a size 12s and just flattens guy's toe that's trying to handle Daisy. Seeing that.
That's the one thing that'll really tilt Uncle Jesse in this episode, is any sort of threat to Daisy. But as we all know, Daisy kicks just as much ass as the Duke boys.
Need to not worry. And I love how he cows the entire, like, they're just like eight rambunctious vigilantes in this bar, and he cows them all with a two-shot 22 Dillinger.
Derringer. Yeah, it is funny. They are defeated once again by their...
I would love to be in Bozai. He can't take us all! And just they all rush him.
Bacon's Charge 2.0. Get this Uriyaki some bitch. They're thwarted by their lack of gun having yet again. Even the cops. I guess the cops are like, we're on probation too.
I think they were disarmed as soon as they came into the door is what it was. Right. They just had to... why didn't they come in? Their boss says it's a disaster. Get here in a double. Why didn't they come in? I guess Boss Hogg is pissed about that later in the episode.
But Daisy Duke's not...
should have rolled in guns drawn, you know?
Yeah. Daisy Duke's not on probation. You're telling me she doesn't have a sawed off under the counter?
She knows kung fu. I think she does. She's like, yeah.
You're telling me she's like Neo in The Matrix. She knows kung fu. She can bullet time dodge. She doesn't need no
stick a gun. She fucking judo chopped that dude in the pilot, flipped him in the next week.
That's true. She does have some advanced martial arts training.
Yeah. And it's just the leverage she generates from those those extremely long legs. Like, it's just, it's the fulcrum.
All right. I gotta get horny bonked if we focus too much on Daisy Duke's leg.
All right. Fair point.
We get another glimpse of the armored truck, which is in no way a repainted ice cream van.
I was thinking like late 70s post. Postal workers vehicle.
It totally is. It is
not even close to being an armored truck. But you know, what are you gonna do?
It is what it is. You spray paint Tri-County armored truck service on there, and the theater of the mind takes over.
And like 14 Dodge Challengers that they're trying to desperately stitch back together in time for the finale.
Yeah.
All right.
This poor showrunner's like, you want a what? You want a what?
You want to jump an armored truck? I do.
Maybe
like,
post office. Kevin Costner is working on this postman script or something. Maybe we can maybe finagle. That's the same time period, right?
Do you not find, guys, like, I thought this scene very charming too, where Thacker's like, all right, you're gonna, he doesn't have a tape for this one. He's gonna wing it.
Right.
He tells Boss Hogg to call up his radio station he owns, because he owns everything at Hazard, and like patch you through directly to the transmitter and essentially say that there's an Abyssinian fruit fly epidemic and the Department of Agriculture is going to spray the whole town. Get out of there because you might die.
Yeah.
And just the whole Thackeray is like, I want you to be delightful, and Boss Hogg's attempts to be delightful I thought was really funny. I love how Boss Hogg like jumps like he's hit with a live wire every time Thackeray puts his hand on his shoulder or something. Just the performance these guys put in of just being like Three Stooges levels buffoons, I think, is super entertaining. Is it lost on you? Because this is just like It's just slapstick. It's just such broad slapstick.
I wouldn't say I think it's good. I think the actors are acting. They're I mean, it's scenery chewing, right? It is vaudeville. It's very vaudevillian.
Yeah, yeah.
It's cartoonish. And I guess it works in a way. But at a certain point, I was like, what am I doing with my life? how did I end up here?
I get a kick out of Boss Hogg going for these constant secret candy drawers full of like Buckeyes and fried chitlins. He's got a whole fucking bureau full of that. I don't know, man.
I guess it's boomer humor a little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think so. You're only one generation removed from the boomers, so you get a little bit of bleed over. You know,
it's like. Half of my family sounds like Uncle Jesse, like that. I'll be on you like chicken on a June bug. That's classic. My grandfather.
No
oh my
way.
God.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Cutting it fine as frog's hair is another thing I've heard. I don't know how many fucking times out of my uncle's mouths.
Interesting. Okay. Well, maybe it's also a cultural thing. Maybe this is why I.
You're too much of a, you're too much Yankee.
Oh, no. I'm not a Yankee by any means. But, like, I fell in love, unironically, with Frasier. I fucking love that show.
Yeah, these are like matter-antimatter type entertainment combinations.
Dukes of Hazzard might
be
the opposite.
You can hurt yourself mixing. If you watch Dukes of Hazzard and then it's like a diabetic drinking a milkshake. You're just going to go into a coma, yeah. You know?
Yeah, exactly. There needs to be some sort of a an in-between.
The extreme right north-south shock of it. It's like throwing a saltwater fish into a freshwater pond. They're just going to just die of shock instantly.
Exactly. They get rowdy again in the boar's nest. There's an escape attempt, which kind of goes almost, well, it goes nowhere, ultimately.
They had a plan that, like, there is a, they reference this guy a few times. I wonder if he showed up in a pilot, but the sheriff of Chickasaw County,
right,
which is the next county over, it's like, you know, if you need real legitimate law enforcement, you got to go over Iron Mountain, CBM. Well,
I would love to see the episode that focuses on the sheriff of Chickasaw County. That's the
point. Yeah, I did too. I wondered, like, is he like slightly less corrupt? Is he just like, is he actually supposed to be legitimate law enforcement, or I don't know? The Dupois didn't trust him enough in this circumstance, but
that's true.
Thackeray's thought of everything. He gets on the CB as Luke's calling for the sheriff. Is like, now you should know that you cannot reach Chickasaw County from this side of Iron Mountain.
Batman.
They expect one person on this side of Iron Mountain, brother. I know, and Luke realizes he's beat because Thackeray says, if you don't get back here in 3 minutes of radio silence,
we're gonna
blow Jesse's brains out.
We're going to execution style murder your Uncle Jesse, which would get them nowhere. Like, military precision of this operation. If Luke just decides to sacrifice Uncle Jesse right now, Thackeray. I was right the first time. Oh my god, that is a very British name. Screwed. His plan is screwed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally.
But you know, family. He's a real.
That's what I'm saying. If Bo's like, come on, everybody, he's only got two shots, he can't kill us all. And they all just rushed him. If Luke says over the CB, fucking kill him, he's old anyway.
Just the whole, his whole $10 million heist plan hinges on spending an unreasonable amount of time in this bar with these eight guys.
That's a part of it is like he wasn't, because like they're jumped the gun slightly. They weren't supposed to have these dukes in there for hours and hours, but because their guys fucked up and got made, That's the interesting thing. Like, what if this all happened at 3 o'clock and the Duke boys literally had like 15 minutes to react? He probably would have gotten away with it, but you should have got more competent muscle, man.
It's just a little bit of property crime. Why are the Duke boys trying to save this $10 million armored truck? Why do they care?
Well, I
think
they're
going to the orphanage.
They also figure at some point in this episode that this guy's just going to kill him at the end. Even though he says the whole time, I'm not going to do that. Like, I believe them. I think he probably will kill them. But, like, it's like they have to stop him because if they don't, they'll be liquidated. I don't know. It's the best I got.
I do want to just take a quick moment in chat.
Because, why would the Dukes of Hazzard give a fuck about the Federal Reserve being robbed?
We ain't signed no... Well, maybe it was specifically
well,
in
boys,
the treaty.
The terms of the treaty is we gotta uphold the treasury and all their bills. Goddamn revenuers got us doing the dirty work for us.
Well, the Secret Service on our ass. Luke turns around and goes back to the... literally goes nowhere. Kind of feels like filler. Also, it is just so bizarre that these cop cars have Confederate flags on their license plates. That is pretty...
They probably still do in Mississippi, certain counties in Mississippi, Georgia.
That's pretty rough.
Yeah. Yeah, to serve and oppress is what it says in cursive above the...
Cursive?
Battle flag of the...
What kind of commie
Confederacy
writing is that? So we're back at the Boar's Nest, and which one is this? Is this Cletus, Cooter, or Enos?
Cooter.
Cooter! Cooter! Cooter shows up, and he's stymied because he don't have a shooter. I find it hard to believe none of these guys are carrying. None of them.
This is a fictitious county in Georgia called Hazzard, spelled with 2 Z's, where none of these white folks are racist, even though they are all carrying Confederate flags and named after prominent members of the Confederacy and play Confederate battle hymns. And there's all,
right.
It's like a what if, you know, it's like Marvel's what if. What if 80s Georgia.
And they're all on probation, and none of them
on probation.
None of them violate the terms of their probations by carrying a firearm.
Because every family has signed a treaty with the government to stop moonshining. You know, the treaty, they call it the Treaty of Iron Mountain. The Uncle Sam came and they all bent the knee.
Wow.
To literally a guy dressed as Uncle Sam.
Yeah,
because they're that stupid.
Uncle Sam built a giant throne out of moonshine jugs that he sits upon.
And they brought Uncle Jesse in chains before him, made him kneel. They broke Jesse and JD right there in a county square.
That's
right in front of the statue of Nathan Bedford Forrest. Oh my God, the South will never rise again once they've been brought that low.
We're pushing up on the edge of my Game of Thrones and also Civil War history knowledge. Now we waste a little bit more time where the goons demonstrate what great shots they are by shooting some beer bottles.
Oh, we talked about Cooter getting there, but like literally, why did they bring Cooter there? Is it just in his contract that he's got to be in so many episodes because he shows up and oh. No, he brings in the General Lee. He's like, I saw the General Lee stalled out on the side of the road, so I hotwired and dropped it by your house like you'd think you'd want me to do, but then you guys weren't home. And like I love it. He's in the mid-explanation, and then he sees these guys with the guns drawn, and he's like, and I shouldn't have done this. This was a bad idea to do all this, wasn't it? I don't know. I think it's funny. I think it's hilarious.
It's fine. It's like a living Far Side comic.
Yeah, and then like, this guy's like, why don't you plan an escape? I would love to see you try because my men are expert marksmen.
Right. But he just missed at least 4 shots from about 10 feet away as Luke ran from the door to the General Lee.
That's true.
In the previous scene, he totally blew it.
Those Duke boys, they're greasy, greasy lightning fast, man.
They have some sort of a superpower, that's for sure.
Like trying to catch grease pigs. Tell you what, them Duke
boys. It's like when they agreed to the probation to not carry guns, they also secretly became immune from guns.
So this is the part, this is like, I love this part of the episode so much. These clowns. Roscoe surmises that they're going to be killed, so he becomes obsessed with coming up with a will for his dog.
Oh,
Boss Hogg, like, runs through a drawer full of fried chitlins because he's processing his own death. And this my favorite line in a whole fucking show is Roscoe sitting there cradling his dog, and he's so happy about bequeathing her everything. And he's like, Flash, I tell you what, I'm going to leave you everything I got. Coo, coo, coo. And he goes, then he says, he realizes he has nothing, and he ends it with the sad coo, coo. I love it. He's like, Flash, I'm going to leave you everything I got. Coo, coo, coo. But I don't got nothing. Coo, coo. Or is it, it's just, I think that's fucking hilarious. He's got a coo for all seasons.
Well, the will humor.
I can tell it's a tough sell, but I'm telling you, it slayed me. I had a lot of fun watching this one.
You're making your best pitch, and some of the will humor did land. At one point, he's like, I can't remember if I left my dog to my mom or my mom to my dog. I thought that was kind of funny.
God, this is like when I honked out of the 7th grade tennis tournament in the first round and my dad said, well, you did your best. This is exactly what it feels like, Jesse.
Wow. Know what it feels like to me? When I totally had to eat crow over the Greatest American Hero pilot that was complete garbage.
That's what this is, revenge for Greatest American Hero. You're resenting spending 43 minutes of your waking time on Earth.
I will tell you.
Of which you have precious little of watching this redneck show. Because you're an Ur-Yank.
I am not an Ur-Yank. I resent that. I am a true Seattle hipster. Which that's also
exactly.
Not true. I'm a weirdo Washington suburb kid. But I actually like this more than the Greatest American Hero pilot that I made you watch. So this is still, this isn't the worst thing that we've watched.
That's
it's
true.
Just like,
I'm really interested to see how the Greatest American Hero is going to taste coming up.
Yeah, me too.
Because they actually might have rounded that into an entertaining show. I'm very curious. Because all I can, like I just remember just as a kid being like, what the fuck? This show... No superhero show this.
I remember 1 week ago thinking the exact same thing.
This is not the superhero. This is the Unter. The Unter superhero.
The proto hero. The primordial hero. Let's move forward. They have a little conversation. Because, you know... During a hostage situation, it's good to let all your hostages just kind of sit with their backs turned towards you and have a conversation in hushed tones while you just gotta lazily. And actually, the hostage takers at some point start drinking too.
Right? Yeah, they're starting. It's reverse Stockholm syndrome, you know. Hey, when in the boar's nest, you might as well nest with the boars, you know?
Nest with the boars. Exactly. And Uncle Jesse starts talking about one of his old moonshining stories about how during some shining time with JD, who's also Boss Hogg, apparently, they ended up at the boar's nest and escaped through the secret tunnels that exist there. Like the catacombs of Paris. Of course, right. There's a rich and robust system of secret tunnels beneath the boar's nest.
Uncle Jesse, were we part of the Underground Railroad? Well, not exactly. More of a moonshining thing, but you know, we fought the Confederacy. We said so in the pilot.
It was kind of on a southward route, but yeah, you could say that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got you on that. That's payback.
But I, you know, as an adult, I guess, yes, I'm kind of contemplating a just on the background, just for funsie, when I got nothing else to do, I'm working my workshop, throwing on the Dukes of Hazzard and like doing a full series rewatch. Because I wonder if some of the things I'd appreciate as an adult is the irony of like Boss Hogg and Uncle Jesse were the Bo and Luke of their day. I think that's what I'm starting to understand, that they go way back and they used to kind of raise hell. And that's why, like, because Boss Hogg is always like very reluctant to actually put permanent screws to the Duke boys.
Right.
You know, like he doesn't like it when they interfere, but like he also gets really pissed if anyone else threatens them or if anything were like if they were to get hurt or whatnot. So like I think that yeah, they got some old time beef. I don't know if they ever get into it, but like I thought that was kind of cool. Like the idea of these old decrepit men used to be
decrepit, he says.
Well, I'm sorry. Uncle Jesse is still a vital man. Boss Hogg is a ridiculous cartoon.
Old time beef is actually the Saturday special at the Boar's Nest. Yeah.
Can I get some of that JD's old time beef?
No, I think you're right, and I think that's probably why this is the consensus best episode, is because it's the community rallying itself around an outside threat. This Yankee from England, proto Yankee.
Right.
The Yankee from which all Yankees were born comes and threatens the community, and the community rallies together in the spirit of protecting, setting aside their minor differences and protecting themselves from this outside threat. It's a lot like the Angry Birds movie.
True.
I watched this very convincing YouTube video by Stefan Molyneux. I'll link it.
I was wondering where that was going.
Joke.
Oh my god. Oh my god. It's probably going to be an obscure one. Anyway. Oh. So yeah. To your point about Thackeray, it is extremely funny how they have this entire hushed conversation in conspiratorial tones. Immediately afterward, Uncle Jesse rises from the table and says, "All right, I'd like to go in this other room that you're keeping sequestered and talk to my mortal enemy," you know? And Thackeray's like, "Yeah, sure, why not?"
Yeah, he's like, "Truly, it is like the Whigs and the, I don't know, Jacobians." I'm just making some sort of European reference there. Let's
Whigs
move
on. And Jacobians. That's, boy, that's the most offensive thing you've said this entire podcast.
Know,
boy, you ripping that wound wide open.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Jesse goes into Boss Hogg's office and under the guise of making peace on their hour of death with a special secret Ridge Runner handshake.
Right.
With a tucked ring finger, Uncle Jesse communicates the idea.
He gives him the tickler.
He does. He gives him a shocker. He gives him the handshake shocker. And then and what I like about this is too, like, Hogg instantly, he's not stupid in this moment. He like instantly kind of gets that Uncle Jesse's trying, and he understands he's talking about the tunnel, and he is on board with the plan. And it's just three old men shaking hands with their super secret Ridge Runner moonshine handshake. I loved it. It's great.
The balladeer steps in at this moment, and he's like, "Well, yes. Uncle Jesse, he put two fingers in what he." I thought Uncle Jesse was doing like a fingers crossed, "I don't actually mean what I'm about to say" thing.
But I thought it was just however many fingers he dropped mean something different to their.
You're right,
Ridge Runner Society.
Yeah, no, you're right. I was just confused. I was just plain
like,
wrong.
I do like that Boss Hogg gets like the shrewd look on his face and like this knowing look, and mm-hmm. you know,
he's been activated. Yes. That's what I guess. It's the super secret. We're all in this together. We've been kidnapped for 3 hours, by the way, but I think we should team up. And Jake.
Yeah, for some reason the fear of their mortality is really set in. Like, it's simultaneously both rooms realize, "Oh my god, we're not making it out of here alive."
Yeah,
again, I don't know why they thought on this show, but
this incompetent British man with a caliber smaller than 22 pistol that has two shots is going to execute us all.
Yeah,
especially since it seemed like he had like us.
I don't. The other thing is, I thought Thackeray was establishing Boss Hogg as a patsy. I didn't think he was going to murder all these people. I thought he was like setting Boss Hogg up in Roscoe as like patsies. And
there's no way he was going to kill them all.
Yeah, I don't think
this
so
was
either.
Not going to end with a gangland execution.
Right? I didn't think so. I didn't think I got that, but, like, you know, everyone's preoccupied by it, so.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like one of the, you ever go through a disaster that's not actually that big of a disaster, but everyone treats it like it, like every now and then in Washington, we get a big earthquake. And everyone's like, oh, gotta call mom. You know, it's like, okay, like the barbecue grill, like the brick grill broke. Like,
okay, you're talking, you know, you're like, using in scare quotes, big earthquake. Cause I'm like, yeah. Like, what are we talking? 7.0 on the rig? That's like, I could see being scared about.
Well, no, it's scary in the moment, but no one you know is going to be hurt, but it's still like, it's all the talk. It's like everyone, you reach out to people. You're like, I need to call my landlord's neighbor.
Make it's sure something you're living through. It's it's something you're living through, but like not in the kind of
ultimately harmless.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to remember where you were when you felt the tremor of 2017, right?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So we get another tussle. A lot of tussles. Again, I feel like the script was probably written with three car chases, and the showrunner was like, we need to change some of these
car
chases. That
would be funny if the writer's room literally had a deck of cards that say, like, Donnybrook, tussle, car chase, jump over dry riverbed, jump over a pond, jump, like, and it's just like, they just randomize it and deal it. Daisy Duke in a bikini.
Oh, yeah, that's any, like, heart... Any heart card that gets drawn is Daisy Duke and a bikini.
Right, right.
Kings are a jump. Queens
Luke
and jacks
with
Beau are a tussle.
And Beau using his dukes, it's gonna be
yeah. So Daisy Duke kicks off this tussle with a powerful what do you call that? Speedwell mixed drink.
Yeah, like the soda sprayer.
Soda gun attack that is apparently super effective against this guy with a 38 special.
He's not expecting a soda water to the face.
Yeah. And then he takes a right hook from Cletus, Enos, and or Cooter. I refuse at this point. I'm sorry, Aaron. I'm not going to learn that guy's name. I only have so many brain cells left.
And, this is a pretty vicious fight. Daisy's busting pitchers, pitchers over dudes' heads.
Yeah.
Uncle Jesse's breaking chairs over dudes' backs. Boom, there goes the guy down.
And it all gets settled down by the British man with a gun yet again, but Luke and Beau have escaped into the supply closet.
Yeah, like, we keep on talking about this guy.
Oh, they go on the roof. Never mind. I thought this was supply closet.
No, this is the thing. Is like, yeah, you think that, but they're actually trying to bait being thrown into supply closet instead of sneaking there. Would they be found out instantly? I just saw, like, I don't know whether it's the wavy filter you got on the television or what, but like every time I see Thackeray now, I see Mr. Rogers like having a falling down moment.
Oh no!
Because he's got that kind of just kind of like gentle old man look of Fred Rogers, but he's also got a gun held to Daisy Duke.
Oh, you mean like
look at him?
Like Mr. Rogers took an evil turn.
Yeah,
like a slip in the tub.
Yeah, someone cut PBS funding one time too many, and he is not. He's taken to the Sesame Streets.
I that was a good one.
Thank you.
Hey, Oscar, you gotta teach me.
That's right. Can you tell me how to get an unregistered, unlicensed weapon here on Sesame Street?
Can you tell me Oscar's how to get a 3D printed ghost gun?
What do I look like, Oscar the Fed? Get out of here, Rogers. You telling me you're breaking bad now? I don't buy it.
What do you
think? Go sell it to the garbage can down the street.
Think I'm Glowy the Grouch?
Does anyone think this is funny but us? Like, I swear to God, like, we're like three levels of meta jokes now, okay?
Well, you know, ultimately, this podcast is a big ruse for us to hang out for 2 hours a week and just shoot the shit.
True.
Joke's on you, listener. So the roof escape was a ploy to get locked in the supply closet, because now Boss Hog, all right, it's starting to click with me now on the second go through, because Boss Hog, I guess, kind of instinctively knew his part in this plan, because he's the enemy of Uncle Jesse when he comes in, and Jesus, these winks and eye rolls that they're giving each other.
I like Daisy has a reaction of like, oh my God, like, you know, she's like rolling her eyes at the fact that they're being so fucking obvious about everything. Yeah.
So, because Boss Hog is theoretically not friends with Uncle Jesse, because apparently Mr. Military Operation researched enough to know that Boss Hog and Uncle Jesse were enemies, but didn't know that really they're frenemies.
They go way back.
That's
they
like
dug a coal together.
Yeah, that's a second tier of knowledge. Also, it did look like they had a mason jar full of dank nugs in there real quick. Gonna go back on that. Hello.
Did they?
But, so
probably just green beans. No, I say, oh, the one in the foreground. Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of shake, it looks like to me. I don't know. We'll be back to talk more about why is Mr. Feeny a car after this quick break.
We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club. But some people aren't the joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for podcasts that really spoke to them, or gave them that bit of support in a tough time. For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love.
Since the dawn of time, we've been putting clothes on our back that identify us with our people, our group, our tribe.
And while Bald Move might be one of the smallest, weirdest tribes out there, transcending all concepts of border, class, culture, and creed, we still have respect for the old ways.
At support.baldmove.com, you can get t-shirts, hats, mugs, and more. We have something for every one of our podcasts, or just wear the four pips of the Bald Move logo with pride.
Bald Move merch beats running around naked, and they make a great gift for the Bald Move fan in your life. Join our tribe! Head over to support.baldmove.com and click on merch to start shopping. You've been listening to quite a few Bald Move podcasts now, but you're not in the club? Whoo boy, you are missing out.
Not only are all of our premium club podcast feeds completely ad-free, but we have lots of other great content exclusively for people in the club.
There's a weekly lunch with Jim and Aaron where we chat with fans about anything and everything from TV and films, food, fun, life advice, and more.
But there's also Off the Clock, our premium podcast where we talk about all the shows we don't have time for on our public feeds.
Plus, you get access to our full spoiler-filled first-run movie reviews of our newly released films.
Don't forget Instant Take and Talk Podcast, where we give our hot takes and discuss television shows with our fans live and immediately after the episode airs.
With mega shows like House of the Dragon coming this summer, we're going to have lots to talk about.
Not to mention access to our fun and friendly community of club members, with exclusive Discord channels and a dedicated forum. It's one of the best places on the internet to hang out and chat about pop culture.
Bottom line, you're helping two regular type guys in the Midwest make the content you like to listen to, which some would say is rewarding to itself.
Help keep the lights on and the bits flowing at Bald Move.
And get some awesome content for yourself. Head to support.baldmove.com to join the club today. And now we're back with more. Why is Mr. Feeny a car?
Yes, so now their plan has come together to get the Duke boys locked in the supply closet where the old-timey southbound Underground Railroad departure platform exists. All right. I'm on board now. I get it. I think the problem was I didn't get the nuances of how great this episode was on the first watch.
See, there you go. Now you're warming up.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I do like, Boss Hogg coming out of there being like, these Duke boys are so dangerous, they're going to get us all killed. And Uncle Jesse jumping up and being like, I concur. And because, not because I want him locked up, but because I love him and I want him to live, you know?
Yeah.
Does he say that every fucking episode? Because he said words that I exactly affect in the pilot. Yeah.
It's two for two at this point.
What are the odds, right?
He also said that Daisy Duke was the only possible chance of carrying on the seed.
He said that again, too. He said that he's like, I just want you to know, even in the fiction of the ruse, that Daisy's the hope of the family. But other than that, I also don't want to see you two die too. Like, he just want to make sure.
Yeah.
I want to make sure no one get it twisted.
You probably should not have said in the fiction of the ruse, mid-ruse, but, you know, he got a little meta. All right, so at this point, Sheriff Roscoe B. Rooster Feathers, I don't know why that's what I think his name is, but it's
close.
It's stuck
Roscoe
there.
Roscoe Pico. It's not less ridiculous than his actual name.
He's driving around with a bullhorn? Anyway, saying like, this is your last chance. You gotta go. We're about to do the bug spray. It's gonna kill you. You gotta leave town. And as we know, in the deep south, they take public health emergencies super seriously.
Who knew 100% of Hazard County sheeple? 100% sheeple population in Hazard County.
This episode of Dukes of Hazzard is probably part of the reason why Florida stayed open the entire time.
It's true, true. This is one of them Thackeray situations. I know it. I know it. That's a tape of Ron DeSantis saying he's closing down the beaches.
Season 4, episode 23. Look it up, sheeple.
That's right.
Panhandle ain't going to get boondoggled.
Also, fun fact, the Scripps of Dukes of Hazzard was actually entered back in 1989 into official Georgia law. They're actually, you can cite them as precedent.
Mm-hmm.
That's why gambling's legal, as you know.
Yeah. Slot machines. Just anywhere you want.
Yep. You can to this day rob a armored car as long as you're only armed with a cassette tape. That is not even a felony.
Yeah. If you cross state lines, you can still get arrested, or county lines. But if you jump it, technically
you didn't cross.
You jumped it. If your tires don't touch county line,
right,
then the new county you've entered, nothing they can do. Nothing they can do.
Yep.
And also, all county lines are dried out creek beds.
Why would you bother to start a new county if there wasn't some kind of, you know?
Yeah.
It's like five people live here, man. You don't need to subdivide it, but there's a creek in the way. So.
Yeah.
I was going to make the joke about Hazzard Square being deserted. It's not that there's sheeple. It's just like on a busy day, three people are in the town of the town square. So.
The vehicular homicide rate is 40,000%.
Ballard deer is engaging in Duke Boy's apologetics, but the Hazard of Hazzard County level is red today. There's already been multiple General Lee sightings. People have ran for their lives.
It's baseball's plaid level extreme at this point.
Right.
Do you think
Duke's con level 5? We are about to launch the pickled pig's feet.
Oh my god. Do you think if I went to Scotland and asked for a kilt but my tartan was the Confederate flag, if I would get immediately deported? Or would they wait like 24 hours?
No, you get super deported.
All right, I've officially lost track.
You'd be brought up at the Hague at the EU court.
And deservedly so. I would say. So we get a nice little scene inside the catacombs beneath the boar's nest, which again is like a single wide trailer above ground, below ground. I mean, there's a whole freaking coal mine.
Yeah, apparently they dusted off a Bonanza mining set that they had kicking around because there's no fucking way they built this thing for the Dukes.
No. Bonanza.
Not in season four, nuh-uh.
Does that hold up, do you think? Probably not. But there's a little hitch in the giddy-up, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but like it got walled off or something? They encounter a wall. Like a
cement
block.
Yeah, Boss Hogg
wall.
Forgot that he cement blocked up the tunnel. So the Duke boys are right below where all the henchmen are, and they've got two pickaxes and 6 inches of cinder block to get through. Oh my God, what are they going to do?
Right, and they're making such a ruckus that upstairs, because they figured out what the problem's going to be, they're going to have a real... What would this be called a hoedown?
Oh, yeah.
So they're dancing up a storm and making a bunch of noise to cover up the sound of the Duke boys destroying the cinder block
likely
wall.
Load-bearing wall that's going to keep the boar's nest from collapse. The next episode's the finale. Maybe the boar's nest just collapses into the ground.
Yeah, well, they're taking out the load-bearing wall beneath us, so let's do a lot of extra dancing right directly above us.
Let's get the biggest man in the county dancing. Yeah. I will say this about Boss Hogg. He fucking commits. Like, he is taking Daisy...
Well,
he Dukes won, for
yeah.
a spin.
I mean, yeah, there was.
He's kicking up his heels. He's you know, doing the windy,
yeah,
Lindy, the windy Lindy. Look at that. Uncle Jesse's ticker couldn't have taken that for more than 30 seconds. Those Duke boys have taken years off his heart.
I think the actors are actually having a good time. We get a little goof here in the back here, and again, you got to watch this stuff on stream. But watch the bad guy in the
back.
Yes,
he just broke.
He
just
totally
broke.
He was laughing. It's like, oh, shit. All right, I got to I'm supposed to be serious here.
Cooter, legendary on set for his constant improvisations.
Busting him up, man. Busting him up.
Oh, yeah. Like Robin Williams in his prime.
Not like that. I think that actually Cooter was played by
Robin
Williams.
Did we talk
Rose.
About the piece de resistance of Thackeray's plan? That he has coordinated to where the armored truck is driven by new drivers, and he has dressed up like Boss Hogg. He's donned ice cream suit.
That's why
and his
he's
chief
doing
henchman
it.
Is dressed up as Roscoe Roostertail.
They don't look anything like.
But like they're new guys. How? Why? Okay. You know, hey, you're dropping $2,000 off to this funny weirdo in ice cream suit and his lack, you
it's
know, lick spittle sheriff.
It's a county of 40 people, but yes.
Right. But, you know, maybe be on your guard because they're kind of borderline criminal and you have $14 million in the hold, so. Yeah. Maybe.
Again, also, if I'm in charge of the armored car company, not putting new guys on the $14 million haul. I got to have some experienced.
True.
But again, if I would. Good.
Can we talk about the slow-ass progress the Duke boys are making on this wall?
I mean,
like, this is
wall.
Some sad country boy work. Put your fucking backs into it, gentlemen.
They're not the Kool-Aid man, Aaron.
But they got, like look at, just, I'm just saying, like, look at the swings they're taking. Like, maybe it's, like, look at that. Maybe it's they don't have the room in the set. Maybe it's a set problem. But, like,
right.
I see these guys throw punches.
Oh, yeah,
I just want
right.
to see someone take a non-checked swing at this wall.
Yeah, that's true. It reminds
that's
me
just,
what
just...
one time.
Also, rewind it to the beginning. I want you to see, like, pay attention to where these pickaxe damages. It's all over the fucking wall. It's not in any kind of like concentrated area.
Listen, they're not freaking demo guys. They're borderline unemployed.
True. They've been on probation since they were 14 years old. They haven't been allowed to hold a job.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
they know how to do is make time with girls on the boar's nest and drive the General Lee.
Do no harm. Yeah, they would make excellent like couriers or something. Like they should
pizza
work for
delivery
Amazon. Man. Yeah.
There you go.
But they haven't.
Do you think they'll be like Dukes of Hazzard style stories about the suburban drivers of Amazon? You know?
Yeah.
They taken the blue bombers out and they got to deliver. I got 17 packages to deliver over a 35 mile area in 90 minutes. Fuck you, Bezos. And they just
hit
a meth pipe and get to work.
Oh, my. Yeah, they're running a different kind of shine. Didn't Joseph Gordon-Levitt make a movie where he was a messenger?
Ride or something? Yeah.
There's no way that movie was any good.
What he had to do? He had to query, 17 pounds of heroin up his ass or something? It's something like that, right? He's currying a murder weapon or because it's... He got mixed up in the wrong people.
Believe it or not, I did not watch that one.
He wasn't delivering Thai. Let me put it that way.
So their ruse is discovered, and goon number one, who's actually the same one that broke earlier, I think, had a good old chuckle. He comes down into the mines, but now you're on our territory. And his expert marksmanship is demonstrated where he shoots a barrel instead of one of the guys about 5 feet away. And upstairs, goon number two is subdued. And downstairs, goon number one is subdued with a leaping Luke off of the top rope, kind of a diving attack and a couple of haymakers.
That's a patented Duke Boys move, just to throw yourself bodily chest first at the enemy, and they just don't even know what to do.
Yeah.
Don't know what to do. You're leading with their center of mass. What are you gonna do? What could you possibly do?
Yeah. My dad always said aim small, miss small, but if they take out the chest from the equation, because all you can see is shoulder,
right?
Everything's small. Yeah. So yeah. Anywho, it kind of reminds me of those YouTube videos where a guy's like, "No, etiquette for anything less than 40 feet, my katana, your gun is useless." So at this point, the Duke clan squarely has. They've liberated the Boar's Nest. Move over Eagle's Nest. Move
That's
over
right.
Easy Company. The Duke Company has liberated the Boar's Nest. And Boss Hogg and Sheriff Roscoe are handcuffed together for some reason. I can't remember why.
Because they didn't want them spoiling, you know, being seen out, you know, when they're being impersonated. That was the stated reason.
Okay.
I don't know why they handcuff Cooter and Cletus together. Because it's funny. Cooter and Cletus handcuffed together.
I gotta say, Luke and Bo, they look like actors. They're like handsome Hollywood people. Daisy Duke, hot, obviously. Jesse's got that look of like a harmless old guy.
He's a prospector.
Cooter honestly kind of looks like a scary redneck to me. He looks like a legitimate redneck.
Yeah, he looks like he might on the weekends run a tilt-a-whirl at the local carnival.
Yeah, he's definitely the most convincing of the cast.
Uh-huh.
And in this scene, he's pretty muscular. He's got some freaking pythons on him.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He's the one that insisted on cutting off the sleeves.
You get a couple of Boar's Nest specials in him, and he's a handful, man. This Cooter.
Yeah. Anywho, so it's car chase time.
Oh, so yeah, the reason Boss Hogg and Roscoe get in that police car to get in hot pursuit because they're hoping there's a reward. They're gonna let the Duke boys do all the work, and they're gonna show up and try to horn in on a reward. That's their involvement in this chase.
Why would they think there's a reward?
Because they're saving the $14 million or $10 million armored car for the feds.
This is an act. Oh, like they'll be rewarded by the federal government.
Yeah. Or I think the armored car company is who actually rewards the Duke boys at the end of this. But
okay, because I'm just thinking, like, if I see a high speed chase, and I decide to involve myself, like no matter how I end it, I'm not getting a reward. I'm getting arrested, too.
Right.
This is an active police situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're tearing ass down some back roads. That's all that really matters here.
We get a full-on big General Lee jump complete with honking, complete with the Dixieland honking. That's like the apex. That's the apex Dukes of Hazzard jump.
Right. Right there, yeah. It's a good jump. It's a good jump, and you know a car was destroyed in the process of that.
Yep, they definitely cut so you can't see the front end of that thing fold like a cheap suit.
Yeah. I do like, they must have, like, bear with me real quick on this thought I just had, a documentary on the ramp mathematicians of the 80s. Who were these people? Like, obviously, Evel Knievel had his own ramp guy. Someone was crunching the numbers on these ramps, and some of these guys, their numbers were better than other guys, right? Whoever did the ramp math on that ramp nailed it, because it just it cut off just the front of the General Lee, so you could still see the rear wheels land, but you couldn't see the compression and the engine
transmission
popping 10
completely
feet in the
burying
sky.
Itself into the ground. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So someone did some great ramp math there. And
you know what's amazing about that? That was largely through computer. They're doing that with the slide rule.
Narls just said Hidden Figures 2.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The ramp mathematicians of... or I like to call them mathematicians because of the on-screen magic they did. Of
the Hollywood
80s.
Magic they All were right. giving to us on the small screen back in the 80s. Listen, we're so lucky.
Anyone in Hollywood, listen, I'm available. And you know,
how's your slide rule?
Well, I'm not gonna do the math. that's not what I'm saying.
Look at this Thackeray guy. So he's impersonating Boss Hogg, and he's got the ice cream suit, he's got the hat, he's got the chain, the pocket watch, he's even doing the cigar.
He's having a good
old
time.
I love how the guy playing Roscoe is doing the Roscoe pose with his fists at his belt, his thumbs hooked into his belt buckle. Like, why are they going to this trouble to pantomime these guys? They're brand new drivers.
Yeah, which it sort of implies that, like, the armored truck company was like, all right, here's a description of who you can expect to meet, Boss Hogg. And, of course, when you think Boss Hogg, the first thing you think of is skinny guy in a white suit. I feel like probably the first thing that they would say is like, yeah, he's morbidly obese. He's probably eating chocolate truffles right now.
He's
check his pockets for pork rinds. If there's no pork rinds, it's not him.
I think you've cracked an 80s action code, though. Military precision equals elaborate costume operations. That's the A-team, pinnacle of their military craft.
Yeah,
it's the pinnacle of this guy's military precision. He's just gonna dress like some dude. Like that's what it was, man.
Yeah.
Julius Caesar, take a seat. Move over, Sun Tzu. You just dress up like the other dude. There's no defense.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. That's how like the Iran-Contra scandal was solved or whatever. Was it just Reagan told him just dress up like some revolutionary guard and walk in and throw some haymakers and rescue the hostages? How hard can it be?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
wheeling
if anyone,
the Jesse with a size 12s to get a stomp on somebody's foot.
If any president would have tried the Hollywood approach, it would have been Ronald Reagan, right?
True. He had those guys. He had those math magicians on speed dial.
Listen, we can get a Pershing tank. We can clear 40 feet if we get it going fast enough, right?
here's what we do. We get a couple of these new Abrams. We get them up on one track. We ski them in. We ski them in. Get my ramp guy on the phone, Aunt Mother.
I've seen Indiana Jones. They got that crazy city that's carved out of stone. That's in Iran, right? Anyway, a little bit of Petra humor. You know, I made a good joke when I have to explain it. Let's move on. We got the ice cream truck going. No, we got armored
ice cream truck.
The bad guys are in the ice cream truck. It would be funny if it was, as it was going off, the Duke boys hit there, and it responds with like the ice cream truck music, which I forget.
Oh, like now. Pop Goes the Weasel?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also like, so the Duke boys are chasing the ice cream, the armored ice cream truck, and Thackeray is leaning out the passenger side and he's shooting.
Mm.
And like they pull back behind, they take like three shots and they go back behind and Luke's like, oh my God, that was close. And Bo's like, well, you can't have that many more bullets. And he goes back and it's his cousin. He's exposing the fire in the passenger seat. And he baits out three more, and then they come back, and he's like, well, that's the last of his bullets. Now the odds are even. Yeah. Oh, my God, it's so funny.
That was the original divide between Uncle Jesse and JD, as Uncle Jesse did that maneuver. It was like, they became enemies after that.
That's
point.
True. You can't fucking do that to me, Hog.
Yeah, whoa. Maybe if we're
the
cousins.
The thing that happens next, I couldn't believe. I'm like, how is this going to help? Luke's like, pull me up by the side.
Right.
And he strips down to his waist.
It was totally necessary.
And I'm like, how is this going to, like, is this the get trick? And then he does, this is a very nifty stunt. A dude gets out on a General Lee, kind of surfs, it's like at speed, at going 20, 30 miles an hour down a dirt road, gets out on this hood. And he jumps and grabs onto the corner of the ice cream truck.
Right.
And like, did you see the guy? I don't know whether they act like that or what, but it looked like he lost his footing for a minute. I don't know. It seems insanely dangerous.
No, it does seem like a stunt gone wrong that they're like, perfect, keep it in.
Right. Yeah. That's even that makes us harder, you know, and we almost die and you actually get it on screen.
Speaking of harder, he has a pretty good body. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I mean, clearly this is a lot of cheesecake, right? Or beefcake?
Look at those bullet holes!
How did cousin Luke live through that? Is he a ghost?
The Duke boys have been dead for 200. They died in the Battle of Gettysburg.
Yeah. They bought an Antietam, and they've just been haunting the General Lee ever since. Oh my God! Yeah, I don't see. This is like some jewels. From Pulp Fiction shit.
Yeah. It's a pretty convincing stunt double, too, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I think the wig does a lot. But yeah, so he jumps on the roof of this armored ice cream truck. He crawls forward, resisting all efforts to shake him off, and drapes his flannel shirt.
Which I think I could drive through that. Like
it looks like he's a determined homeless man trying to clean the window on the wide shot. Like he's going to get that fiver, man. He's going to get it. He does not give a shit. He's going to get that fiver from you.
Is that a thing that actually happens? That's certainly never happened to me.
Oh, I've had really?
Yeah.
I've had it happen a time or two. Huh. Attempted. I feel like that was a thing back in the 90s. They don't do it much anymore. Now these people just stand on corners.
Wow, homeless guys these days. They don't even put in the effort.
Try to wash your window. It's like it holds cardboard and homeless.
Thanks, Obama.
Fight the system. All right, like two modern day Robin Hoods. Don't just stand on the corner.
Right. Robin armored truck homeless people. You can make it work.
Pull yourself up by the ice cream straps. Shirtless Luke lands, like comes off the top ropes of this ice cream truck and just plow. I love this bit. He plow and he completely demolishes Thackeray with this opening people's elbow.
Yeah.
And Thackeray doesn't want any more. He's like cringing and help. And like you can see him come back for a old good old Duke boy haymaker, and he sees it's just an old man cringing.
Yeah.
And he pulls up short.
Yeah, please don't.
He pulls
hurt
out, like, what's right? He's like, you're too old. It'd be a hate crime.
Elderly abuse.
Elder abuse. I don't want that Excel. I don't want that aggravator on my charge sheet.
I'm already on probation as it is.
Right, it's season four of the Duke Boys. I got federal charges a mile long. God, don't even get me started on state and local.
Yeah. And it's established earlier that Bo, who is not the one that looks like Luke Skywalker, Bo is the worst fighter.
Bo, and, yes,
yeah,
yes.
And, but he redeems himself in this. He lands a good, he takes a punch to the face. And again, it's very Duke Wayne. That's John Wayne, the Duke. Like, we're going to take turns punching each other in the face, and that's how we will resolve this fight.
Yeah, like it's like early 80s Rocky boxing, just trading haymakers to the face. But I like even the balladeer, because that's the thing is, like, Bo is kind of the fuck up. You know, Luke is the serious one, and Bo is kind of the one that always can't. Cause
hang
they had
on,
this...
they're both fuck ups.
But Bo is the one that people in their cis family system says is the fuck up.
Okay,
right?
All right.
I think he might have one or two things. Like, maybe he's the better shot at the bow. Maybe he's the better driver. But he's like better, he's definitely the bigger dumbass.
He's the driver. The General Lee is his car, I think. And I think so. When I was re-listening to the pilot episode, I forgot to mention this. Daisy Duke has the best car out of all of them. Her car is
The Jeep Wrangler.
No, she's got like a yellow car. I don't know.
Oh, because she ends up getting a Jeep Wrangler, a white Jeep Wrangler with a big old daisy, an actual daisy on the trunk.
Oh, really?
Or the hood.
In the pilot, she has some sort of a yellow muscle car that looks really good.
Interesting.
Anyway, I think it's way cooler than the generally.
Maybe, am I wrong? Because I just looked up Daisy Duke's car and it's. It's all this Plymouth Roadrunner. Maybe I'm remembering wrong.
You're thinking of the Barbie van.
Daisy Duke. Oh no, okay, so she eventually does get a Jeep, but it's not a Daisy, it's a eagle motif.
Oh. Well, both cool, I guess. I'm not a Jeep person. Well, that's not true. I like riding in a Jeep, but I would never want to own a Jeep. But when someone with a Jeep gives me a ride, I'm like, hell yeah. It's in the summertime, you know?
Dude, if I had a third car, you get a Jeep. But, like, it's tough as a daily driver, I think.
Yeah, for sure. So we're wrapping up here. Basically, all of our loose ends have been tied up. And I turned audio on there for a second. The British man is going to jail.
And he is humiliated by the fact that it's not the FBI, not the CIA, not even the state police, not even the Stasi, but it's these country bumpkins
Interpol.
That's taking him down.
Yeah.
Not even Interpol.
Not even the cake. Anyway, there is a little moment here where the sheriff opens the cell door, knocks himself in the face, and then the back of his skull knocks the guy behind him in the face. This is pure... Three Stooges.
It's Three Stoogery. Yeah. Coo, coo, coo. And you get the Roscoe of it all to really set it off.
All right, be honest with me. On a scale of 1 to 10, how blazed were you when you watched this?
I mean, I broke no laws in Hazard County.
I don't know if I can trust your judgment.
This genuinely blows my mind. You did not like this episode, but you liked the pilot episode. Because, I had a fucking blast. I honestly did. I had a fucking blast. I was laughing. I was rolling. I was admiring the stoogery. Because I think that's a talent. Like, and the fact that, like, they were so confident in the just inherent entertainingness of these guys' hijinks that they would, like, flip the keys of the episode for him for, like, 5-10 minutes at a time. I don't know. Unironically liked this episode of the Dukes.
I think for me, it was like, I enjoyed the pilot episode. I like the setup. I like, you know.
The origin story is always the best.
And then And I was excited, like, where do we go from here? What's the best episode? I kind of expected a little bit more. And
yeah, the best episode of it is kind of, that's kind of interesting, because this felt like a regular ass episode. Even the teaming up of Boss Hogg and Jesse was a little oversold.
Right. Yeah.
They had a secret handshake, y'all. That's yeah. it.
And on a, I don't know, this is very hotel to me, by which I mean, like, hotel viewing, right? You're in another town, you got nothing to do, you throw on the TV, this is on, okay, I'll watch it, you know? The same way it's like the hotel, the breakfast buffet, it's like, okay, I'll go down there. None of this food is good, but I'm here, so I'll eat it, you know? This, to me, this episode just kind of existed. It was a thing. Was it good? No. Was it bad? No. It was just kind of in the middle. It was silly. It was very silly. And I feel like with all the potential of the setup that we had of, like, the Duke boys ain't doing no wrong, they're modern day Robin Hoods, there was no Robin Hoodery here. There was protecting property on behalf of the on behalf of the property owner for no reason. There's arresting the British man, which I can get behind. Listen, if it weren't for spoiling the British man, this would be an F episode for me.
Oh.
It goes a long way for me.
Not only is there no improvement, there's actually degradation. Yeah, there's Duke's degradation.
Yeah. I liked, if the pilot was a 7, this is a 5, in my opinion.
Wow. Wow.
Well, I'm being honest. What can I say?
If the pilot was a 9,
oh, wow.
I'd argue it is.
You're
in
calling
terms
that
of
a
what
nine.
Was trying. Yeah. In
right,
terms of
to,
what, like.
We need to calibrate your scale a little bit. What? All right. Breaking Bad.
Well, see,
Knight pilot.
Rider's pilot sucks, but Knight Rider, the show, is excellent. So, like, it's exactly what it wanted to be. It was so fully formed right out of the gate in a way that almost none of these other pilots ever was. And then this episode is like, I don't know, probably like an 8. Like a 7.58.
That's what, I mean, you warned me. You're like, we watch the pilot, you're like, Jay,
it is every
now.
Duke's episode.
Mm-hmm. You've seen every Dukes of Hazzard episode.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, exactly. It is, it's a Dukes of Hazzard episode. Was it as dog shit as Greatest American Hero? No.
See, there, observe, he is actually trying to set the biggest delta in the favor of Most Improved for American Hero.
Hey,
he's
now
trying out F's for the Dukes of Hazzard. What? I feel like Daisy got in the red bikini, this would have been a fucking A.
No,
you know it. I know
no,
it. The people of Hazzard
no,
County know
no,
it.
No, because Daisy Duke in bikini is less attractive than Daisy Duke in the Daisy Dukes.
I disagree.
More is more. Honestly, if you gave me an episode where Daisy Duke was covered, like, it wearing, like, a sharp suit, I think that'd probably be the best she ever looked.
Okay. I hope she hears this podcast, dude.
Listen, Daisy, if you're out there.
Catherine Bach.
I'm single. I'm ready to mingle. I'm simping for you live on air.
Mrs. Bach, if you're out there listening, Feeny@baldmove.com, if you'd like to take on that indecent proposal. Everybody else, if you got anything that you'd like to say about the Dukes, about any of the podcasts, about your favorite episode of the Dukes, your least favorite episode of the Dukes, how bad does this thing get? You know, six, this went for 3 more seasons. My God, they got the remote control cars out. Feeny@baldmove.com is where you want to send that. Guys, we actually have a couple pieces of feedback if you want to indulge in that.
Oh, snap.
What do you think?
Hell yeah.
First one, I do not know what the context was. This from a Greatest American Hero, but Gleek, our discussion about Gleeking.
We had
a dispute about what
you guys
Gleeking
talked about
meant.
Gleeking? Nice.
We talked about, right. Okay, great.
Yeah,
we have a control here.
Yeah.
We have a control here. Everybody shut the fuck up. We got a control here. Jim.
Yeah.
Define what gleeking means.
So gleeking is when you get some saliva in your mouth and you press your tongue down in a way that it, like, sprays out between your teeth.
And this is a Midwest definition. We got an Easter Rocky,
Western Rockies type of thing going on here.
Why? What does it mean over there?
Gleeking in my neck of the woods is you kind of like unhinge your jaw a little bit, and then like the glands under your tongue, you just like launch spit out. There's no pressure involved. You're just like kind of opening your spit glands and it launches out of your mouth.
Like fringed lizard in Jurassic Park. It's bizarre. Yeah, do you actually have these glands? Wow. Are the glands in the room with you right now?
I've never been able to intentionally gleek, but every now and then you'll like yawn and like spit flies out. That's a gleek. But then like in like middle school, some of the guys had like fully weaponized and perfected their gleeking, and it's terrible. It's a bad thing to do. Don't gleek on people. Folks.
Yeah, you shouldn't especially. So Josh wrote in to make it 50-50. He says, from what I understand, the gleek is a mixture of what each of you said in the podcast. It's not just squirting spit through your teeth, nor using neck convulsions to propel spit. It's actually using the saliva gland under your tongue to create a stream that expels from your mouth. So like, you somehow contract your tongue muscle to apply pressure to your salivary glands that squeezes out a stream of. I kind of need someone to do this. I need Adam Savage to come back to Mythbusters and put someone in the MRI and show me this. Like, what
have
the
you
fuck?
Never like yawned super hard and like it spurted out on your monitor or whatever?
No, I've never yawned so hard.
Yeah.
Can you gleek?
What's gleeking?
I used to be able to. I haven't done it since. Well, but
you're not spraying salivary glands either. You're not spraying salivary glands. Jay, do you gleek? You know how to squeeze your glands?
I cannot do it intentionally.
Aha! All right, I want to see some gleeking done.
It exists. Trust me. I've been tormented by.
And it's one of those mythical things like the clitoris. It's just like subcutaneous thing that doesn't really exist.
Boys who gleek. I love that phrase. I love it.
They certainly weren't men. That's what I'm getting at here.
Fair.
Okay, next one. Another one about Dukes of Hazzard. Really brought. I got a lot of reaction. People love Duke. You know what's funny is like we're talking about the potentially racial minefield that is Dukes of Hazzard. I had several black dudes send me stuff on Twitter where they were posing with the General Lee.
Oh,
and
nice.
Two black guys and a Jewish gentleman being like, fucking love Dukes of Hazzard. Because I think back in the day, it really wasn't seen like it. The Daughters of Confederacy were so fucking successful that I think most of America, including the minorities who were terrorized by it, kind of were like, you know, with the General Lee.
They were good old boys, never meaning no harm.
They did, and they fought against the Confederacy. Yes. They established all
comers, but no, I can get it. Like, I'm just saying there's a big difference between a black guy posing in front of the General Lee and someone that looks like me. It's a little bit more problematic if I make that my profile.
It's a little bit more
picture.
Subversive and cool when the black dude's doing it versus
absolutely.
Us.
The guy with freckles and a red beard.
Spoof Finger from the Twin Cities, Minnesota wrote in, says, Aaron, I have to disagree with your idea of using the General Grant as your inspiration for reimagining General Lee. You know, we try to fix the problematic aspect of the Dukes of Hazzard by retaining the essential fun component of it. He says, I think we should go with the General Sherman. We can get a sick fucking flame paint job down the sides of the car. Keep the stars and stripes.
More.
Keep the stars and stripes on the roof. Battle him. The Republic is hard to beat. We could also consider marching through Georgia. It's not as recognizable, but it does link directly to Georgia. I wonder if a fictional Hazzard County is between Atlanta and the sea. You know, that's a lot more inflammatory to our southern brethren. But I mean, it's not like Grant was gentle. Not like it is a pretty bloodthirsty on both sides. But
it turns out a lot of those Civil War generals they weren't exactly punching with kid gloves.
They were stacking bodies for sure.
Yeah.
But General Sherman, that would be a statement. That'd be a statement car.
I've also exhausted my knowledge of Civil War generals at this point, so I can't add anything.
This is true. So yeah, that's we got. If you'd like to send us feedback, you can do so. Feeny@ballmove.com. We will consider that in the future weeks ahead. Or it's also Knight Rider. Either one works. But someone's somebody I noticed spelled Feeny with a E. Feeny is FEENY@ballmove.com. It's not FEENEY or FEE. I guess I should spell that out every time, but FEENY@ballmove.com. Jay, tell people what you are all about and what you're doing.
Yeah, nightly streams, Twitch, blue_J_streams. And on YouTube, please, I want to get to at least to 500. 500 will be a great milestone for me. I do a lot of TCAP commentary. To catch a predator. If you like that, you're going to love my stream. If you don't like it, you probably won't like my YouTube channel. But you can find that YouTube/@BlueJ. No, it's just @blue_J.
All those links are also in the show notes. If you'd like to check those as well. All right, check him out. Feeny@ballmove.com if you'd like to give feedback. And we will be back next week. Oh, I guess this is what we should decide. So our next line of quality pilot was MacGyver. That was a pretty solid one. We expect it to continue to be solid. What is the IMDb's opinion of the best MacGyver episode, Jay?
Clocking it at a 8.5. Episode is called The Widowmaker, which that's a great name.
Oh, is this one of the MacGyver arch nemesis episodes?
While scaling the cliff face known as the Widowmaker, Mac loses his best friend. Whoa, spoiler. Before he can properly grieve, he is forced to run from an old enemy who is now hunting him down. That's gotta
yes.
be him.
Yes.
With the help of a colleague, Mac finds his way back to the Widowmaker and fighting for his life on the same ledge that took his best friend. I'm trying to find out what season and episode this
is. I think it's season 3, episode 8.
Yep, season 3, episode 8, aired November 16th, 1987. So
yeah, I think this is a good one. This is the Garth Knight level episode, right, if I recall.
All right, so
I think we'll have a fun time with that.
I was just over 1 year old when this aired.
Prime vintage for this episode. That's what we're gonna do next week. If you want to watch along with us, check out MacGyver season 3, episode 8, The Widowmaker. If you check the Tuesday night stream, you'll probably see Jay watching it live.
Yeah, Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific.
We'll see you next week for another Feeny. Until then, I'm Aaron.
I'm Jay McCain. And hey, Kit, would you go ahead and hit the ejector seat for us? Wow! Oh!
Making their way. That's just a little bit more than the normal allowed. Just a good old boys. Wouldn't change if they could. Fighting the system like a two modern day Robin Hood.